What happened to music that meant something?
The Who at the Kingdom or Kiss at the Coliseum. Where is the Misty Mountain Hop? Where is the smoke on the water? Where is the Iron Man of today?
Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll.
When music fans hear the end is nigh, they aren't filled with dread, but with eager anticipation. Because the end means revealing the number one album of the year. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. Jim and I count down the best albums of 2014 and hear nominations from our always opinionated listeners. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and time now to count down the best albums of 2014.
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around, nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
This is Sound Opinions, and at the end of each year on this show, Jim, we go over our list of the top albums of the year. It's that time again. Very exciting time for us because we get to pick our favorites. Impossible to say best of, I would say, because there are thousands and thousands of albums released each year. It's impossible to listen to all of them. But these are the records that rewarded us the most when we listened to them. The kind of record that you could put on and get something new out of it each time. I don't know about you, Jim, but during the course of the year, I always have a couple of records in the back of my mind saying, you know, it's really going to be tough to top that one.
Yeah, sometimes
the number
you announce
one spot.
That sometimes in January, yes.
Yeah, sometimes you just have a feeling, you know. And I always go back in the last few weeks of the year to re-listen to all those records that I thought so highly of to see if they really do hold up. And when they do, they make my top five list.
Well, I don't know about you, but the most often asked question I get is, you know, what are you listening to, right? So I always have a running doc, and I'm keeping track of those albums that got 3.5 or 4 stars that I'm really excited about, and things move up and down. And then you agonize for 2 weeks at the end of November, beginning of December, to finalize that list.
Well, it's a big list for both of us, and you can see our complete list at soundopinions.org. I've got a top 20 on there. You've got top 40, I believe, right, Jim?
There was a lot of great music this year.
But we're going to go with the top five today. So you're going to start with your number five pick.
I'm going to start with number five. There was a lot of great music this year, and some of it we didn't previously talk about on Sound Opinions. This is one of those records. The new album by Shellac, Dude Incredible. Now, Shellac is a troublesome band for a lot of people because Steve Albini, the famous record engineer, is an irascible character. He's mercurial. He's controversial. Shellac, for many years, has been in this sort of math rock precision vein where you have to admire the skill with which Albini, drummer Todd Trainer, and bassist Bob Weston approach their instruments. Massive noise rock played with machine-like precision. But it was something you admired more than you loved. This is different from the 80s. In the 80s, when Albini led a band called Big Black, it set the mold for much of what followed in the alternative era, whether you're talking about Trent Reznor or noise bands like Sonic Youth. You know, it was noisy, it was aggressive, there was a drum machine, the guitars sounded like none other in rock and roll, and there was an intellectual heft to the lyrics. I think this Shellac album blew my mind because Albini went back, along with his bandmates, to a couple of things that had been lost along the way with Shellac. He's upped the wattage on the melodies, which is a weird thing to say about this kind of extreme noise rock, but also on the storytelling. There's this conceptual thing that ties the album together about how a number of our founding fathers of this country were surveyors plotting out inch by inch this new world, and that is tied into the way we are now all under surveillance in the modern world. There's also a lot of humor in here. There's a song, a sort of a love song to Gary, Indiana, which, no offense, Gary, is the ugliest city in America after my hometown of Jersey City. The lyrics are great. The melodies are great. Shellac has never been more hard-hitting musically. I love this record. Here's a song called All the Surveyors by Shellac from Dude Incredible on Sound Opinions.
Ha, ha. a big number. You're pretty big. We've got more of you than we can use. And the cameras in orbit will survey lines on the Earth that show where the corn is in the crater that we made out of you times son of a bitch squared. Here come the surveyors. Here come all the surveyors. They show them. They still don't show that nice photo.
That is All the Surveyors from Shellac. Dude Incredible is the name of the record. It is Jim DeRogatis' number 5 album of the year. I agree, Jim, a great record.
Yeah.
My number 5 pick for album of the year is Wussy's Attica. Wussy is a band out of Cincinnati that have been working for more than a decade, and I love the story behind this band. The main songwriter in the band, or one of the two main songwriters, is a guy named Chuck Cleaver. He had a momentary flirtation with the mainstream in the 90s with a band called the Ass Ponies. Got some major label attention, critically acclaimed, wonderful band. They broke up. Now Cleaver's in this band, Wussy, with Lisa Walker. The story goes that he was asked to do a solo concert. He felt a little uncomfortable about going up there by himself. He asked his friend Lisa Walker to accompany him. They ended up forming a songwriting partnership that has endured over a half dozen records. And the latest one, Attica, I think is the best yet. I mean, what do? They basically have this combination of incredible introspection, quiet, solitude, mixed with this noise rock. And when they bring the two together, you'll get this eerie electric guitar backing up these kind of introspective folk songs, and it's a wonderful sound. There's two main themes here that they're trying to attack. The whole notion of faded youth and midlife turmoil, looking back on the mistakes you made, looking back, though, on the original inspiration. It's not depressing in that they are, you know, saying music is still worth something. It still means something to me. That spark that I had when I was 18 years old listening to some of these classic records that inspired me, well, they still do that for me, and they still inspire me to make great music. Here's an example of what they do. It's a track called Teenage Wasteland from Wussy's new album, Attica, on Sound Opinions.
We'll be right back.
That is Teenage Wasteland from the band Wussy. The name of the album is Attica, my number five album of the year. Jim, what's your next pick?
Greg, we've yet to talk about the new release from the Aphex Twin on the show, and I'm eager to do so because I love this record. It's called Syro. It's the Aphex Twin's first album since 2001, a record called Drux. Richard D. James, the Aphex Twin, is one of the towering giants of electronic music at any period, but he owned the 90s. As far as what could be done with computers and samplers and synthesizers, these new landscapes taking us from progressive rock and Brian Eno to the dance floor, nobody ever sounded like the Aphex Twin. I interviewed him once. He could make entire tracks out of the sound of a pen against a Coke can. And I mean, symphonies out of these simple sounds. He's been gone for a long time, way, way underground, releasing music under different pseudonyms, very, very low key. Why did he decide in 2014 to come back as the Aphex Twin, using that name again, with a rather high-profile release? He flew a blimp over London to announce that it was coming, okay? I don't know. Is it to show the hordes of stadium and festival-filling electronica DJs how it's really done? Is it to just remind us that he invented or helped invent this stuff? I'm not sure. All I know is that he gave us a fantastic record, 12 new tracks, instrumental, all of the titles of which are completely meaningless, and the only twist on the classic sound is that he was sampling his family members and incorporating bits and pieces of their vocals. But, you know, nothing ever sounds like anything in the real world with Aphex Twin. That's part of the charm. He invents his own sonic palette. At times, it's warm and welcoming, like the best ambient atmospheric music. At times, it's pretty frightening, and always there is that twisted Richard James sense of humor. I'm going to play a track called Circlant 14, 152.97, in parentheses, the Shy Rooming Mix. What does it mean? I have no idea. But this is as good as instrumental electronic music gets. Here's Richard James, the Aphex Twin from Syro on Sound Opinions. That is Circlant 14 off the Syro album from Aphex Twin, his first in more than a decade, and well worth the wait, Jim. So Aphex Twin is your number four pick for album of 2014, and here's my number four, Mary J. Blige. It's incredible that she remains relevant in her 40s. That is pretty rare in her line of work. Oh, yeah.
But I would say even against that legacy, her new album, The London Sessions, ranks with her very best work in more than a decade. Part of the reason is that she's been a huge influence on this UK soul surge that began with Amy Winehouse about a decade ago and continues to this day with people like Disclosure and Sam Smith. And Blige decided, hey, why not work with some of these people that are referencing my music? Why not go to London? Well, that's what she did, and there are these more upbeat dance club-ready tracks that give her a contemporary edge. But let's not forget, you know, she was a big dance music fan in the early 90s. She was influenced by Chicago house music, just like a lot of these UK artists were. So she sounds very much at home in that context. But what I really love on this record are the ballads. And the leadoff track is called Therapy. And I think it's a sly wink at the late Amy Winehouse in that track called Rehab. What Blige is doing here is kind of poking fun at her own reputation as an artist who sings about the turmoil in her life. And this song is basically saying, you know, I am kind of depressing. I don't even like the sound of my own voice sometimes. So why not just pay for therapy 2 times a day? That might be the way out of this situation. So she's almost making fun of her reputation. And it shows a side of her that I don't think was apparent before. So here's Therapy from the London Sessions by Mary J. Blige on Sound Opinions.
Why would I spend the rest of my days unhappy? Why would I spend the rest of this year alone? When I can go therapy, when I can go therapy, when I can go therapy 2 times a day. Why would I spend the rest of this week so bitter? And all that listening is making you bitter too. When I can go therapy, when I can go therapy, when I can go therapy 2 times a day. I don't wanna be around me, and I don't blame you if you're blocking all my calls. Been a while since I've been sleeping soundly. Most nights I lie awake between 2 and 4. It's still never enough. Why would I spend the rest of my days unhappy? Why would I spend the rest of this year alone? When I can go therapy, when I can go therapy, when I can go therapy 2 times a day.
That is Mary J. Blige with Therapy from the London Sessions, my number 4 album of 2014. And we will have Mary J. Blige on the show early next year.
Exciting. Coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX, some of our listeners play critic. And we'll continue our countdown of the best albums of 2014.
Yeah, I'm stressing you out. And at the way it's going, you'll need it more than me. Why would I spend the rest of my days unhappy? Why would I spend the rest of this year alone? When I can go therapy, when I can go therapy, when I can go therapy 2 times a day. Someone help me, turn me round. I'm a victim, hear the sound of my own voice, turn it.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot with Jim DeRogatis, and we're counting down our favorite records of 2014. We're going to continue running through our top five in a second, but Jim, you know, we're not the only ones with strong opinions about this year's best albums.
Heck no. We want to encourage you to continue sharing your lists on Facebook and Twitter, but we'd like to give a little bit of airtime now to some guest critics in the audience. We've got Will on the phone from St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Will. Welcome to Sound Opinions.
Thank you.
Tell us about your favorite album of 2014.
My favorite is Manipulator by Ty Siegel.
All right, good choice. Ty Segall, a California garage rocker, he came on Sound Opinions in 2012. Tell us why you made your list.
Well, this ended up being a pretty good year for what I call rock and roll records, as opposed to your kind of college kid laptop pop that passes for indie rock these days.
Said with a sneer, I might add.
I like that. So much for Minnesota. Nice.
I'm not a native. But I like some of that stuff, but I wanted to hear something that was, you know, kind of raw and fun. And Ty Segall kind of has the scope that makes me think I'm going to want to listen to it years from now.
How does this one, Manipulator, stack up in terms of his ever-growing catalog?
Yeah, you know, I was not a big fan of his earlier stuff. It was pretty good, but this one has this kind of T-Rex kind of sound to it with mm-hmm. the, you know, acoustic guitars under the big fuzzed-out guitars. And there's, like, real songs you grab onto.
Little Ty Segall from Manipulator there. That's a great choice, Will. Thanks so much for being on Sound Opinions.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go over to Sia Banga calling from Chicago. Hey, you're on Sound Opinions.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Number one record of the year. What is it?
Spoons, They Want My Soul.
Ooh. All right. Make the case. Be the critic.
Okay, I have to say, I'm a relative newcomer to Spoon in terms of the history of the band. I didn't really get on board until Ga 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 came out. But since then, I am all in. And this record is just by far my favorite Spoon record.
You catch everything I never could.
Bum track on there. There's not one that I want to skip or I'm like, yeah, this one's okay. It's like one track after the next. It's like, okay, this track is better than the last one. It's not even the holidays yet, and I've already given two people the CD. And they were casual, lukewarm Spoon fans. I gave them the CD, and they're like, oh my God, I love it. And I'm like, see, I told you.
And you can see through the brightest flash of apocalyptic run.
Here's a band that's been doing it for almost 20 years, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's so rare for a band to be making a record at this level at this stage in their career.
It's a great record, and yeah, to be 20 years into it and still making great music, and making great music that, the great thing about this record is there are new touches and new things in the record, so you can feel like they're, you know, progressing, but it still sounds like Spoon.
Spoon from They Want My Soul, guest on Sound Opinions. Greg and I are both big fans, and Sia Banga loves it so much she's buying people copies, handing them out on the street.
Yes, I am.
Thanks for coming on Sound Opinions.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Jim, we've got one more listener on the line. Kyle is in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Hey, Kyle. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Great to be on.
So, Top record of 2014. What is it, Kyle?
Well, you know, it's been a struggle coming up with my top 10, but the number one album for me the whole year has been Sturgill Simpson's Metamodern Sounds in Country Music.
Yeah, hearing a lot of people talking about this artist. Describe him for the listeners who have not heard Sturgill yet.
Well, he's just a true, pure, traditional country guy. He moved to Nashville a couple years ago, dropped everything, quit his job, and become a true country man. But he's an independent dude. He lives in Nashville, but he doesn't live within the confines of the Nashville Music City establishment. His last couple albums, he released independently. And I call him an outlaw country guy. I don't know if he likes to call himself that, but if you like the old school country music, Sturgill's your man.
Simpson writes lyrics that are a cut above or beyond the typical country lyricist, I'd say. A little bit more surreal and psychedelic, right, Kyle?
Absolutely. I mean, he's a step above what you hear on country radio these days. He puts a lot of work into his lyrics and his music. A little psychedelia there, maybe some drug use here and there, but existentialism, I would say. But he's still, at his heart, he's got a lot of great country songs, a lot that... You know, talk about pain, depression, lost love, alcoholism. But there's also some God references in there. He thanks God for his life of sin. But he's just a pure, great songwriter and a great country musician.
So every day I'm smoking my brain hazy. All I can do to keep from going crazy. But the paranoia slowly creeping in. Oh, I keep drinking myself silly. On the way for this hillbilly.
He played here in Bowling Green this summer, and I mean, it was a foot stomper. People were going crazy over the songs he was singing. But I know all over the world, I know he's played Europe this summer, and they loved him over there. Sturgill Simpson's taken over the world as far as country music, I think.
Yeah, and you kind of wish Nashville would get hip to what its fans actually will accept.
Absolutely.
Thanks for a great pick, Kyle.
Well, thank you, guys.
Every moment when I rise, look in the mirror and spy the sign of everything, all that I've become. Level up my medication, some might find till my day. That's all right, it don't bother me, no.
Greg, let's invite our listeners again to share their top albums of the year. You can call 888-859-1800. You can email interact at soundopinions.org or talk to us on Facebook and Twitter. Now, getting back to our countdown, we left off with your number four pick. That means I'm at number three, and it is Cry is for the Flies, the second album from Les Butcherettes, the Mexican art punk band led by Terry Genderbender Suarez. I discovered Les Butcherettes a couple of years ago at South by Southwest, and I loved the debut album. It was a long wait for this follow-up since 2011, and Terry Genderbender was off performing an electronic duo with Omar Rodriguez, her producer, the guy from Mars Volta. I didn't know if we'd ever see another Les Butcherettes record, and we needed it because this anger at the male hegemony, this anger at that disparity between Mexico and the United States, these immigration fights, Terry has a lot to say about all of it. But while it can at times be pointed specifically, the anger sort of is more in general. The difference on this album, it does show some musical maturity. There are more atmospheric and arty passages. It's a little quieter at times. Reminds me a lot of the work that PJ Harvey did with John Parrish. I think that Rodriguez and Terry Genderbender have that kind of relationship where they can take this punk rock in quiet directions or they can make it absolutely furious. This is one of the furious songs. It's called Burn the Scab. I'm not exactly sure what she wants to set on fire, but you know it's going to burn to the ground. Les Butcherettes, Burn the Scab from Cry is for the Flies on Sound Opinions. Burn the Scab by Les Butcherettes from Cry is for the Flies. Greg, what's your number three album of 2014?
Jim, for my number three pick, I'm going to go with Benjamin Booker, the self-titled debut album by this artist who has spent quite a bit of time in Florida as well as New Orleans. We had him on the show earlier this year, and I have to say, this record was almost an accident in the way it was written. Essentially, what the record is a bunch of letters, a bunch of phone calls, imaginary phone calls Benjamin was placing to various family members and loved ones in his life. It was a way of communicating with them about what they were going through, what he was going through, this time of turmoil, this year and a half, 2 year period where he really didn't know where his life was going. His loved ones were worried about him. He was worried about some other people in his life because of various issues, whether it was drug addiction or loneliness or just waywardness. And it really comes across in just the personal investment that these songs communicate. You talk about the blues. This guy has them. And he's combining that blues feeling, that intensity that maybe a Son House would bring to some of his stuff with a love of punk rock. So you combine the punk attack of those guitars with that deep blues feeling in the lyrics, you've got something really powerful.
We had him on the show, and you can listen to that conversation and performance at soundopinions.org. I mentioned that because I don't think we've ever had anybody talk more passionately in the here and now about the vitality of blues than Benjamin.
Well, absolutely, and I think it comes across in this record because what we're hearing is somebody who is wearing it very up close. Mm. You don't have any sense of he's holding anything back. The song I want to play is written from the perspective of his mother, who is worried about her son. Like, what's happening with you? You know, what are you going to survive? Are you going to make it? Clearly, there was an empathy there that he understood, and yet at the same time, he felt helpless to do anything about it. And you can hear that desperation in this song. Have You Seen My Son from Benjamin Booker, the self-titled debut album, number three on my 2014 list on Sound Opinions.
And place the Bible at my feet. I could hardly understand you, or I just learned that you might be. I heard that you were calling on the Lord, asking for answers for some relief. Heard that you were calling on my name, and you cried for a week. Then I've seen my son is lost in the world somewhere. I'm back for him every day, but I know he ain't seen.
Have You Seen My Son by Benjamin Booker. He's at number three on Greg's list. That means I'm at number two, Greg. And it was a close call. I was going back and forth for 2 weeks. But my number two album of 2014 is Rips, the debut by a new group called X-Hex that features a very familiar face. Mary Timoney has been a heroine of mine for more than 20 years now. She was a giant in the 80s indie rock scene, first debuting in Washington, D.C. She was part of that Discord Records family, had a group called Autoclave, moved up to Boston, had a wonderful band called Helium that was very much part of that kind of dump truck, Big Dipper, Dinosaur Jr., 80s Boston sound. She went on to make several solo albums. You name a cool indie label in the last 25 years, she She's been on it. Mm. She put out a couple of records on it. And we had her in the studio when she was half of the guitar duo powering Wild Flag, along with Carrie Brownstein. Everybody knows Carrie Brownstein. She's the star of Portlandia. Sleater-Kinney is back together. I don't think Mary's ever gotten her due, and she is every bit Carrie's equal in terms of influence and just guitar power and songwriting and vocals. She's working on this album with legendary producer Mitch Easter, the force behind REM's Murmur. But there's none of that mysterious murk of early 80s indie rock REM. This is a Richard Hell and the Voidoid style, pure hell-raising punk rock record. It's got that same joie de vivre that we heard in Wild Flag, that incredible feeling of, I'm making music with my best friends, and it's the best thing in the world to do. And there's also a little bit of classic Boston stuff in there. She's referencing Roadrunner by Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. I just love this record. It's a stone-cold gas, a collection of short, catchy songs that you just can't get enough of. Listen to this one that I'm going to play. Kicks the record off. It's called Don't Want to Lose by X-Hex from Rips on Sound Opinions.
If you stay close, you might hear the sounds. Well, I would never let you down. I thought you were a man of action. Come on, baby, come on, give me a little reaction.
Love that, Greg. Don't Want to Lose by Mary Timoney and X-Hex at number 2 on my list.
To check out our complete best of list, go to soundopinions.org. When we return to Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX, we'll make it to number 1.
Back to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My partner is Greg Kot, and we are thrilled to be running down the best albums of 2014. Greg, this is the only list show of its kind that anybody needs, all right? You certainly don't need Rolling Stone. They listed at number 1 and number 2 the U2 record and the Bruce Springsteen record, which we had as our turkeys of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get to number 1 soon. Right now, it's your number 2 pick of the year. What do you got?
Jim, I have a record that is definitely better than either the U2 record or the Bruce Springsteen record.
It'd be hard to be worse.
It is a Detroit quartet called Proto Martyr, which made a record called Under Color of Official Right. I have been wearing this record out for most of the year. I first saw this band at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas back in March. Loved what they were doing there. It was like a 40-minute afternoon set. I'm going, I haven't seen a band like this in a very long time. Here, just when you think, hey, everything's been done with a guitar, bass, drums, and vocals, here comes a band that sort of gives it a twist. And, you know, it's a combination of songwriting, personality, attitude. This band has all of that. Joe Casey is one of those singers who comes up there in a very unassuming kind of way. You know, hands in pockets, sort of matter-of-fact, conversational tone to his voice. And then all of a sudden, things just go haywire. And you go, man, this guy's going off on something. He's almost a Bukowski-like street poet, you know, observing what's going on in his hometown of Detroit, observing what's going on in the street outside his home, these little vignettes, these little slices of life that he animates in his songs. And then the band behind him has this very terse, concise, but powerful sound, very post-punk.
Minimalist,
you know,
yeah.
You're thinking about a band like The Fall when you see them.
I was thinking about Wire, yeah, but yeah.
That kind of vibe. Not sounding at all like those bands, but certainly influenced by them to a degree and giving it their specific twist. It is a great record. Their second album, Under Color of Official Right. Here's a song from it called I Stare at Floors from Proto Martyr on Sound Opinions.
The day comes.
I Stare at Floors from Proto Martyr, Under Color of Official Right, my number two album of 2014. We just recently had this band in our studio, and you can watch a video of them as well at soundopinions.org.
Greg, I'd love to see a double bill, Les Butcherettes and Proto
Martyr.
Oh,
that'd be great.
That's our dream night. But now it's number one. I will tell you what my dream album of the year is. First, I give myself a drum roll. All right. Against Me. Transgender Dysphoria Blues. This is one of those rare records that came out way back at the beginning of the year that only grew in power and strength for me throughout the year. We are going to have them on the show performing and chatting early in the new year. This record is just amazing on so many levels. Number one, I've always liked Against Me's ultra tuneful, very melodic, super anthem approach to punk rock. These are the modern inheritors of the Clash. You listen to these songs, you can't help but get all stirred up. This is a particularly personal album. Laura Jane Grace is documenting her transition from male to female. I think that she is talking beyond the personal experience, because personal is political, to talk about a community that many people do not talk about, to talk about issues we are prejudiced against or that we dismiss. You know, it's one of the bravest things I think you can do in rock and roll. Above and beyond that, though, there is a philosophy of a humanistic approach to life. She is talking about, at times, the way that the hate that we've engendered in the Arab world is coming back as blowback. Why aren't we just decent to each other? I think that this record, outside of the transgender community, outside of the punk rock community, I think this record was needed in Ferguson, Missouri this year. I think this record is needed on the south and west sides of the city of Chicago. This is about treating each other decently and then getting angry when people don't, and striking back. It's as good as punk rock gets, and you want to sing along to every song. Witness the track I'm going to play. It's called True Trans Soul Rebel by Against Me from Transgender Dysphoria Blues, my number one album of the year on Sound Opinions.
I'll dress up and know where to go. Walking the street.
Trans Soul Rebel by Against Me. My number one album of the year is Transgender Dysphoria Blues. Greg, your number one album. You want a drum roll?
Sure, Jim. Give it to me.
All right. All right. Here we go. Number one.
I want to just declare right up front before I tell you who my number one album is. There is life beyond Milkshake, Jim, in case you were wondering.
I knew it. This album was my number eight.
This is the new record by Khalees. Khalees had that big 2003 hit, Milkshake. And it was a game changer for a lot of people. That was a huge record. It really helped shape the future sound of R&B at the time. A lot of people thought, how can she ever top those records that she made with Pharrell Williams early in her career? She's 34 years old now. She's spent more than half of her life as a recording artist, which is really remarkable in itself. But here's an album that reflects where she is now. You know, she's a mom. She's got her own cooking show, yep. Things like this. And this record is very much about friends, family, about domesticity, about motherhood, the whole notion that you can grow as not just an artist but as a person and have your art reflect that in a really organic way. This album was made in a very sort of family-type fashion, if you will. She collaborated with TV on the Radio's Dave Sitek on this record. And the instrumental landscapes are very much a product of collaboration. Musicians working with each other in the room, Khalees singing, working the melodies, creating the environment for these songs to occur. And you can feel that. The warmth in this record makes it, I think, the most significant record of Khalees' career, certainly since Milkshake, and it ranks with her very best work. It is one of the best soul records you're going to hear in the last 10 years. A lot of people are paying attention to what's going on in the UK right now. Well, Khalees in our own backyard is making records that rank with her best and certainly put a new spin on the whole soul music tradition. Here's a track from my number one album of the year, Khalees' Food. It's called Friday Fish Fry on Sound Opinions.
I said, all right, Dad, games are over.
That is Kalise with Friday Fish Fry from my number one album of 2014, Food. Check out her performance at soundopinions.org. She was with us earlier in the year.
That wraps up another Best Of episode. Lists of all of our favorite albums will be up at soundopinions.org. Greg, what do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, we are joined by our very own Kris Kringle, Andy Surzan, for his annual holiday spectacular.
Sound Opinions is produced by Jason Saldana, Robin Lynn, Anthony Martinez, and our intern, Alex Claiborne. On Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic, so give us a call on our hotline, 888-859-1800.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
New messages.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Greg. Lou Jenkins here calling from Bury St. Edmunds in England. I've just listened to the Robert Plant show. Great interview. I've actually listened to it twice. It was absolutely brilliant. I've seen Plant quite a few times since he broke away from the other band at the end of the 70s, and all of his gigs have been good. But I caught him a couple of weeks ago in Cambridge near me, and it was absolutely fantastic. He was really, really comfortable with himself, with the band, with the venue, with the songs. Best gig I've seen all year. And if any of your listeners get the chance to see him, I don't know if he's coming back to do any more gigs in the US. It's certainly one to watch, and if you can't see the gig, keep your eyes open for a bootleg.
I found a lucky charm. I dressed it up with love. I crossed the seven seas to you. But would it be enough? That I will be a rainbow when your tears are gone. I will bring it all to you, and I will carry on.
There you go. Good week. Bye.
Hi, Greg and Jim. This is Paul Bost calling from Los Angeles, California. I was calling regarding your Protomartyr episode. I think Protomartyr's record is my favorite of this year, and I was considering your question, great bands from Detroit or recently good bands from Detroit. And the one that came to mind is a band called The Go. I think they released their first record in 1999 on Sub Pop. And Jack White was a member of the band then. But really, the band comes down to two individuals, Bobby Harlow and John Krautner, and just really great Beatlesque melodies. And as the band's gone on, they've become more ornate in their arrangements.
So long now, you thought you could do it, but you never figured it out.
I would suggest you listen to their most recent record, 2013's Fiesta, probably my favorite record of 2013. So that makes 2 years in a row that Detroit has birthed my favorite records of the year, with The Go in 2013 and Protomartyr this year. Thanks so much for the show. Always enjoy it. Bye.
My name is Eric Bermadal, and I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin. I just listened to your episode on Detroit band Protomartyr. Loved it. You asked about other Detroit bands that should be on your radar, and I'd just like to throw out the Kickstand Band. Played a show with them recently, and they blew me away. They've got such stage presence, beautiful harmonies, these surfy guitar licks, punky guitar licks, they've got it all. Definitely check out their recent EP, Summer Means Fun, and their first LP, Puppy Love, and enjoy.
She doesn't think of
more messages.
To share your opinions on Sound Opinions, call 888-859-1800. We'll be back next week on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and distributed by PRX.